This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. Choose if you try.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and if you're a freethinker or an atheist or skeptic, you're not alone. There are 54 million non-religious Americans in this country, and this is radio devoted to you, the undevoted.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of December 10th and 11th, 2011. Free Thought Radio broadcast in Madison, Wisconsin.
Free Thought Radio is also broadcasting in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, New York City, and of course as a podcast. If you have a progressive station in your city, ask them to carry Free Thought Radio.
Or any station in your city.
We make it easy. And why is there, you can turn on the radio 24/7 and be preached at, there should be radio for the rest of us.
So and it's free. They
contact
can have it
us.
For free.
Yes, we make it easy. Contact us at info@fff.org or call 1-800-335-4021 and we'll tell you how to do it.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are a state church watchdog and we are the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics and freethinkers. Free thought means that you form your opinion about religion based on reason, not on faith, tradition, or authority.
Yeah, hear, hear for reason. Our guest on the second half of today's show will be Professor Stephen C. Hertel. He's a foundation member, and he is at the University of Pittsburgh, and he's an eyewitness to one of FFRF's hot complaints, our hottest complaint, about the so-called war on Christmas, which is actually a war on the separation between church and state, a war on the First Amendment that is being waged by theocrats in government. And this concerns, we'll talk to Stephen about our complaint about a nativity scene at the entrance of the seat of government in Elwood City, Pennsylvania.
Which must be close to Pittsburgh then. And in fact, that brings us to our usual theocracy alert, the news portion of Free Thought Radio. FFRF made a lot of news over this past week or two, and let's start with the crazy furor in Elwood City, PA.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it in more depth, but we sent a letter of complaint out on behalf of local residents last year who naturally objected to a large nativity display put up, owned and put up every year by the city in Elwood, Pennsylvania, Elwood City. And it's the only display up and it did not conform, as we told them, to the Supreme Court requirements, which forbid a nativity scene or any other religious display as the sole focus on government property.
So after our letter, things really heated up. The city added a few things to try to make it constitutional, a few lame posters, such as a little like yard sign, just saying Kwanzaa right next to the nativity display, and a Hanukkah poster in the window. But that isn't enough. It's clear that the city has a religious agenda. Listen to a little bit of what the mayor says. Here's a clip from CBS KDKA-TV out of Pittsburgh.
Battle over this, a 50-year-old nativity scene sitting in the basement of the Elwood City Municipal Building covered in garbage bags. Standing over it, this town's defiant mayor.
It's a belief that we've had dating back probably 50 or 60 years. It's a lovable tradition, and we're not going to be bullied.
So it's a lovable belief that the city has. He admits that he's promoting religion. By the way, if you look online at the picture of the nativity scene in the basement, it's stored right next to the bathroom tissue. I don't know what kind of comment that makes, but there it is. So anyway, after the story came out that we were going to protest, that we are protesting, there were rumors flying around, bizarre rumors, that we were actually physically going to be there, that we atheists were going to show up in droves. Busloads of us were going to be coming from Wisconsin.
And we told the media that wasn't true, but they still reported it.
So we were going to be there screaming and complaining about the erection of this nativity display, but instead, about 1,000 Christian city residents showed up to protest a week ago Friday to rally for Jesus in front of City Hall.
It was supposed to be a showdown over a nativity display, but members of a group from Wisconsin was trying to, that was vowing rather, to protest that creche in front of the Elwood City Municipal Building, never showed this morning. Paul Martino is live now with more. Paul?
Stacy, there was an overwhelming show of support here in Elwood City for that nativity scene that rests across the street on the front lawn of the municipal building here. There were so many people, in fact, that they had to shut down busy Lawrence Avenue. Now, there was a rumored protest from an atheist group. That never happened. Instead, hundreds of people turned out to show their faith.
It was a huge crowd, 400 to 500 people, all supporting their right to display a nativity scene. They were honking for Jesus, raising a cross for Jesus, and riding Harleys for Jesus. They came to show their support for a tradition in Elwood City, a nativity scene in front of the municipal building.
This is our town. This is our building. If we want to put a nativity scene up, then it's our right to put it up.
They can do what they want, but I know what we're going to do, and that's have the nativity scene here for Christmas.
An atheist group from Madison, Wisconsin, was rumored to be bringing busloads of protesters who say government shouldn't be endorsing religion. They never showed. Good thing, because their message wouldn't have been received very well here in Elwood City.
There's strong feelings about it. Folks here in Elwood City want it to remain. Reporting live from Elwood City in Lawrence County, Paul Martino, KDKA TV News.
A good thing. I mean, what were they going to do? Kill us? Beat us up? I mean, we were never going to be there. And of course, there are atheists in Elwood City. And there are people who walk by, our complainants have to walk by that every day on the way to work. Imagine being an atheist in that crowd. You shouldn't have to fear for your life because you believe in separation of church and state. All us atheists want for Christmas is some separation between religion and government.
And a little bit of respect. And besides, there were other types of non-Christians in that tent as well. There's a whole bunch of scenes and video clips of that rally on YouTube. And if you look at it, there's these angry people holding these huge 2-foot wooden crosses, like dozens of them, like their swords or something. Here's just a little bit of somebody who took some personal video of the rally, and these people are kind of like a mob raising these crosses. Listen to this.
If you can count on one thing, you can count on all the people you see standing here. That nativity scene will stand another 50 or 60 years if it's up to you.
And then they had the video then went to a picture of a poster with your face on it, Dan, of all things. And the poster said, "You may not love Jesus, but Jesus loves you." Now, how come you got so lucky?
I guess they thought we were going to be there, so they planned. They had my picture on this big sign, and next to it, somebody had "Go back to Wisconsin" sign, like they were going to scare us out of town.
I guess Wisconsin is just all atheists, huh? Anyway, the mayor then publicly invited FFRF to put up our own display. He said we would be free to put up our own display in the same area.
Because pretending that it's a public forum, the city manager invited us to then send our winter solstice banner. So we did, but now the mayor says he won't put their banner up. So what does our banner say, Annie Laurie?
Yeah, and they're holding it hostage, and we have other uses for it. It says, "At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds." And that's the same wording that's up in the Wisconsin State Capitol and the Mississippi State Capitol, by the way. It went up on Monday. So the borough is going to have a board meeting on the 12th, and they'll vote on whether to put our banner up. But who knows? It doesn't look too promising.
So we'll talk in more depth about this violation later in today's show with our upcoming guest, Stephen Hurdle, in the second segment.
And so now there are some developments. I think we have time for one more report on a state church violation in Whiteville, Tennessee. And we have written and complained about this. There was a cross atop the water tower When we complained, the mayor took off one arm. He broke off his cross. And now he's lighting it with taxpayers' money. Now he's gone and put two crosses in pails right by the city entrance.
Here's some coverage from WBBJ 7 in Jackson, Tennessee.
Controversy over the big cross continues in Whiteville tonight. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brad Douglas. A resident who passed by City Hall every day recently spotted two white crosses in front of City Hall and says he was offended by them. Now the Freedom for Religion Foundation is getting involved again. 7 Eyewitness News reporter Emily Casullo is just back from Whiteville and spoke to residents about what they thought about the crosses. She joins us now. Emily?
Brad, all the residents I spoke to basically said the same thing. They say they don't see why having a cross or two is such a big deal.
The cross is back, and this time there are two.
Should anyone be upset about it? What do you think?
No, because it's a freedom of speech, and if that's their religion, they want it right there. I believe that they should have it right there.
Back in October, the city had to take down part of the cross on their water tower because they were threatened with a lawsuit. And since then, two crosses are up in front of City Hall.
The day they tried to make them remove the cross, they just really been putting them all over now, though.
A resident recently contacted the Freedom from Religion Foundation about it, and now they're taking a stand once again. When we contacted them, they sent us this statement saying they're shocked by the cross display and that it sends a hostile and improper message of intimidation and excludes non-Christians. They say it violates the Establishment Clause even more than the cross on the water tower.
It's not really a big deal about it to me. I mean, if that's where they want to put a cross at, I mean, I think it's fine, you know. But, I mean, some people don't like it, but I don't see nothing wrong with it, though.
It's kind of scary what's going to happen because, you know, they've already taken everything out of schools, the pledge and all that. So you don't know where it's going to go.
We were unable to reach Whiteville Mayor James Beller for comment about the crosses. However, we did notice tonight that he has a similar cross in front of his insurance business a couple doors down from City Hall. Emily Casullo, 7 Eyewitness News.
So we remain very concerned about this flagrant promotion of Christianity by a town government. So we'll keep you posted on developing news on what we'll be doing about that.
And finally, we have to comment on a remark by Newt Gingrich during the Republican national security debate last month. The moderator was Wolf Blitzer.
What would you do if you were president with these millions of illegal immigrants, many of whom have been in this country for a long time?
You need something like a World War II Selective Service Board that frankly reviews the people who are here. If you've come here recently, you have no ties to this country, you ought to go home, period. If you've been here 25 years and you got 3 kids and 2 grandkids, you've been paying taxes and obeying the law, you belong to a local church, I don't think we're going to separate you from your family, uproot you forcefully, and kick you out.
So, if you've been here 25 years and you've got 3 kids and 2 grandkids and you've been paying taxes and obeying the law, but you don't belong to a local church, then we are going to separate you from your family and uproot you forcefully and kick you out?
So that's the gospel, according to Newt. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and coming up, we'll celebrate secular composers Hector Berlioz and Jay Gorney, and then talk with Stephen Hurdle about craziness in Elwood City, Pennsylvania.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're co-directors of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. We invite you to join us, not someday, but today, and remind you that your membership is deductible for income tax purposes and includes 10 issues a year of our 24-page, very lively newspaper, Free Thought Today, reporting on everything we do and then some.
We hear a lot about how there would be no music, no art, no magic without religion. Religion always gets the credit for the highest achievements of humanity. Well, we like to dispel this myth as much as possible, and because this is a radio show, in particular, it concentrates on the contributions of secular songwriters and composers. This upcoming week, we'll see the birth date of French composer Hector Berlioz, born on December the 11th, 1803. We'll play a little bit of Berlioz as we go out of this segment. He was born into a Roman Catholic family, but influenced by Shakespeare, Byron, and Goethe, and his compositions included Romeo and Juliet, overtures to King Lear and Rob Roy, and not inspired by God, but inspired by an unrequited love affair with a Shakespearean actress, he wrote Symphonie Fantastique, which we will hear at the end of the segment. He said of religion, I believe nothing.
Next week also marks the birth date of songwriter Jay Gorney, born December 12, 1896, another freethinker born to Polish Jewish immigrants. Like his pal Yip Harburg, the lyricist, Jay Gorney was a non-believer. He ended up being blacklisted for his liberal views. We interviewed his widow, remember, Dan, Sandra Gorney.
A couple years ago.
She's still, I know she was doing some event in New York City recently. We had her on Freethought Radio talking about her husband, and you may remember that Jay Gorney discovered Shirley Temple. His widow told us they were not religious. They were not married in a church or synagogue. The memorial for him was not in a religious setting. He concurred with the non-theistic views of Yip Harburg. So we want to play the great collaboration of Harburg and Jay Gorney. We've played other versions on the show, but this one is my favorite.
1932.
Not the version. It's kind of a bow to Al Jolson by the inimitable Mandy Patinkin, and you'll know the title. Very timely today, unfortunately. Brother, can you spare a dime?
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right there on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick and rivet and line. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, gee, we look swell, full of that Yankee doodly-dum. Half a million boots went slogging through hell. I was the kid with the drum. Say, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Buddy, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, gee, we look swell, full of that Yankee diddly dum. Half a million boots went slagging through hell. I was the kid with the drum. Say, don't you remember? They called me.
And that's Mandy Patinkin singing a song composed by two non-believers. Coming up, we're going to talk with a professor from Pittsburgh. He's also an FFRF member, Stephen C. Hurdle, about how the town of Elwood City, PA, has gone a little crazy over our complaint about the nativity scene. Now here's a little bit of Berlioz's Symphonie fantastique.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and our guest is Dr. Stephen C. Hertle. He is professor in the School of Information Sciences at the University of Pittsburgh, with joint appointments in the Department of Psychology and Intelligent Systems Program. And he directs the Spatial Information Research Group at the University of Pittsburgh, which conducts research on the structure of cognitive maps, navigation in hypertext, and models for spatial cognition. In Pittsburgh, he's on the board of the local chapter of the Center for Inquiry, and he also organizes events for the Still City Skeptics, including a fascinating-sounding event, Drinking Skeptically, Brunching Skeptically, and a Science and Skeptics book club. And he's also a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And Stephen, you were at our national convention in October in Hartford.
Yes, I was. It was a wonderful convention, and thanks for letting me speak today.
Well, we are really glad that you could join us, we invited you to come and talk about, from your Pittsburgh vantage point, this hullabaloo going on in Elwood City, Pennsylvania, over FFRF's complaint about a nativity scene on the city hall lawn.
Have you seen the nativity scene there?
Yes, I drove by a couple times, and so I did see it, and it's right there front and center. There are other things around, sort of hidden in the corners. Some literally hidden, like a menorah candle up in a window that took me two trips to actually see.
And you were kind enough to send us links to photographs of them, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we like to call it the war on the Constitution here, not the war on Christmas.
Exactly.
And it's kind of funny to me because in Pittsburgh, everyone very much knows sort of what the rules are. It was Pittsburgh is in Allegheny mm-hmm. County, and it was Allegheny versus the ACLU that set the rules, the Supreme Court case in 1989 that said that the nativity that was on our courthouse property was improper, and so it was moved down the street a few blocks. It now sits at U.S. Steel City Plaza, which is private land owned by the U.S. Steel Company, and no one in Pittsburgh is really bothered about that fact, asking, you know, why did you move it? They just walk down two blocks down the street and take a look at it, those who want to see it.
But they were bothered back in the 80s. There were people.
They were bothered back in the 80s, but now the rules are clear. And so how Elwood City doesn't understand the rules and how the press covering it doesn't understand the rules is really what I think I'm most frustrated by.
Well, and we wrote them a letter a year ago, I think it was December 1st of last year, on behalf of complainants, including somebody who has to walk by it every day, can't avoid it. And, you know, we are being termed the meddling outsiders. But so then we had a lot of negotiations. Our attorney, Patrick Elliott, our new attorney working for us, Andrew Seidel, has been involved. And it looks to me like what they're trying to do is make it conform to the earlier Supreme Court case, which is Lynch versus Donnelly, a very bad case from 1984. But that's the case where there was a huge block of secular decorations and one nativity display
very
in the
tiny.
Middle of it that you couldn't even hardly pick out. And so why don't you tell us, on a week ago Friday, they put the nativity scene back up, and then they put some other stuff up. And again, what is that stuff?
So they've put up a little poster, a small poster that says Kwanzaa and has some candles on it. That's sitting sort of off in the corner. There's a Santa Claus. There's reindeer. Some secular things, and then there's also a menorah that sits up in a window. In the building. The only, I guess, positive thing you could say is that the banner on front of the building now says Happy Holidays, which is nice to see. rather than Merry Christmas.
But it's
otherwise,
it's still
the Nativity is the one that's front and center. And actually, right next to the Nativity, there's a handwritten sign with the First Amendment on it, basically underlined in bright red, the part about the freedom, the second part of the phrase. And sorry,
the Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting
the free exercise thereof.
That's the part they put up.
So they underlined the prohibiting the free exercise. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people in the city think that this is the free exercise of the people to express their views, when they don't understand that there's a difference between free speech and government speech, which is what we're complaining about.
Exactly. And unfortunately, the borough manager and the mayor are really taking an aggressive stance. The mayor was quoted in one of the papers as saying, "As long as I am mayor, I'm going to push to have this up the way we always have. I won't be pushed around."
Yeah.
It's just kind of remarkable that they don't understand that they could have a government position and not understand the Constitution that they're bound by.
No, and he's also admitted that they've owned this display. The city has owned this display for 50 or 60 years. As Dan pointed out, they house it in the basement next to their toilet paper. And, you know, there's pictures of it there. And although they can lawfully own it, unfortunately, according to the Supreme Court, if it's not part of the only focus, it has been the main focus for so long. So,
That's right.
Well,
and then the local media has been fanning the flames. Rather than using it as a teachable moment, they run quotes about, if you don't like it, you don't have to look at it. Which, again, is just a meaningless statement, and the media really shouldn't be doing that.
Well, then let me ask you, according to Lynch, which we think is not such a great decision, but that's the decision right now from the Supreme Court, a city can have a primarily secular display which might happen to have a small religious element to it. When you went by that display, did you view that as a primarily secular display that you happened to see a nativity scene in, or do you view it as a primarily religious display as you went by it?
I think it's very clearly the second. I think the messages from the mayor and the news and the town are making sure that the Nativity is front and center.
Well, and there are huge rallies screaming out Jesus, and this town is for Jesus. Well, there are non-Christians in that town, non-believers and other believers who are non-Christian. What a unwelcoming message for them. What a message of intimidation. And one of the TV stations even said it's a good thing that FFRF didn't show up, as if there would have been violence.
It was a very strange gathering from the videos that I saw. Lots of anger, lots of people shouting. They were shaking crosses like they were excising a vampire or something.
And they were large crosses.
They were probably about 1 feet by 2 feet, something like that, 3 feet.
Like a sword.
We actually call them baby crosses because, you know, it was a funny symbolism. I've never seen people waving crosses as part of a Christmas display.
To defend this secular monument.
To defend the secular monument.
Yeah. Well, why don't we listen to what you were complaining about the news coverage? This is 27 First News. Why don't we listen to that?
There's a nativity scene in Elwood City that somehow grabbed the attention of an anti-religious group based in Wisconsin. But what could have been a protest today centered around the display turned into a celebration. Natalie Jovanovich has more.
Hundreds of crosses held in the air, signs with spiritual messages, all in the spirit of the depiction of the birth of Jesus Christ. The people of Elwood City came out in droves to support the placement of this nativity scene.
The city relates to this nativity scene. It's something that we've come accustomed to.
Last year, borough officials received a letter from the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation, citing a local resident's complaint that a nativity scene in front of the city's municipal building violated the Constitution's separation of church and state. This year, rumors circulated that the out-of-state atheists would be there to protest the holiday display. But instead, a religious rally took place right in the middle of Elwood City's downtown.
I'm glad that the people from Wisconsin didn't show up, but my hope was that if they did, that the true meaning of Christmas and the spirit of love would prevail.
The city came out in huge numbers in full support of what we're doing here. Just a tremendous outpouring for the nativity scene as it went up.
The nativity scene here in front of the Elwood City Municipal Building is a long-standing community tradition. And even though members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation did not show up to protest, those here in attendance say that's not what matters.
As it brought the community together, it brought them out to be in one accord and to be in support of the manger.
In Elwood City, Natalie Jovanovich, 27 First News.
Well, so Stephen, listening to that, it's like they're making their case for us. It's the city endorsing religion and the religious community becoming closer together against the outsiders.
Yep. I didn't hear anyone saying we like the secular display. All religions are represented. You know, there was no focus on the inclusionary aspects of the display. It was all exclusionary and just the one religion.
It reminded me of Ruth Herman's Green, author of Born Again, Skeptic's Guide to the Bible. When she read the Bible, she said she didn't find enough love in there to fill a salt shaker? There wasn't a lot of love at that rally, even though that woman referenced it.
Yeah, get out of town and shaking crosses.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk some more with you, Stephen. And when we come back after the break, we're talking with Professor Stephen Hurdle about Elwood City, Pennsylvania. The illegal, unconstitutional nativity scene that's up there. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back. And, who are we listening to?
Little More of Berlioz.
Who's born in the next week, anniversary date. A freethinker.
My name is Ed Mercer from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And we're back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're talking with Professor Stephen Hurtle, who is with the University of Pittsburgh. He's a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He's an eyewitness to the crush craziness in Elwood City, Pennsylvania, where FFRF has a legal complaint going about a nativity scene on City Hall lawn. And you were about to make a point when we had to interrupt you and take a break. What was that about?
Yeah, no, it's no problem at all. When I was up there taking pictures, there was actually the typical fellow in the van handing out free crosses and instructing everyone to put them in their lawn. So the protest was on Friday when people were waving these crosses wildly. A week ago Friday, yes, thank you. And then I went up on Sunday last weekend, and drove through the town. I was curious how many crosses I would see on people's front lawn, which was the instruction. I saw none. I drove on at least 8 or 10 streets. I was actually a little bit lost getting through the town. And then after I visited the Nativity again, I took another set of streets looking for a cross, and I never saw a cross on a lawn. So this idea that somehow everyone in this town is so religious that they need these crosses, they need the nativity, that's just wrong to begin with. And even if it was true, it would still be not right.
Right.
But there's so much misinformation.
It'd be appropriate to put that cross on their own property.
Exactly. So
not
that's
on
the appropriate place to put it, and I didn't
and they
see
don't
them.
Do
the nativity's the inappropriate
right.
place, and I did see that. So it's this crazy mismatch. And in fact, the borough manager said that he'd be willing to use symbols from other religions. This was quoted in the paper. He'd be willing to use other symbols from other religions, such as a Jewish Hanukkah menorah, as he called it, if someone provided one.
Right. So they'll provide.
He's not even willing to go out and buy one to display. Someone has to provide it for him.
And also, they put this picture of a menorah up in their window by the crush And Hanukkah doesn't even happen until December 20th, so that city isn't smart enough to know you don't put the menorah up the whole month. You only put it up for, what is it, 8 days? And
right.
So, yeah. You know, it's not like comparable to a nativity scene. It doesn't balance the nativity scene.
And by the way, the nativity scene actually has wording on it, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. There are actual text on that sign.
It's just, you know, and I just wish that the mayor, the borough manager, the state representative, Jared Gibbons, would get out the Constitution, would look on Wikipedia at the County of Allegheny versus the ACLU and just come with some knowledge.
Well, we have certainly quoted chapter and verse of that Supreme Court decision from the beginning to them. But then the borough manager called me up a week ago Thursday and said we needed to send our banner directly to him so that they could consider it at their meeting. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to send the banner. We don't have that many of them unless you tell me that you're going to do it. And he said they wouldn't even put it on the agenda unless I sent the banner. So we're waiting for them to make a decision. But the mayor has already said they won't put it up because he doesn't like it.
right, which is not...
Constitutional.
Constitutional as well. You don't have to like something to.
There's looks like there's a lot of skeptical things going on in Pittsburgh. You were going to tell us about.
Yeah. Well, the big event. It's December. You know, it's time that we like to celebrate, and so we're having our second annual Festivus celebration, where all the free thinkers and atheists get together. It's going to be on December 18th, and it's at a place called the Church Brew Works in Pittsburgh. Which is a decommissioned Catholic church.
Hey.
It's now a brew pub, and what was the altar is now filled with beer vats and brewing equipment.
From wine to beer, huh?
It's the perfect place to celebrate the secular season.
Truly holy water.
What time does that start?
And that'll start at 5 o'clock if anybody wants to attend. We'd love to have them there.
Now, Stephen, you were telling me briefly what your free thought credentials are. What's your background?
Yeah, my parents grew up were Episcopalians, and I went to an Episcopal church in my younger years, and about the time I was 12 or 14, they stopped going, and that was fine with me, because that's the point that I realized I was an atheist, and this made no sense to me. When I had kids of my own, I ended up joining a Unitarian church just to... give them at least some religious education, I guess you could say, or spiritual education. But they were always atheists, and we were always atheists, as many Unitarians are. At this point, they're involved a little bit more than I am, but none of us are really involved at this point.
Well, you are certainly involved because I think you're the only Pittsburgh resident FFRFer that we heard from who volunteered to get involved in our state church battle in Elwood City. So we really appreciate that activism.
Oh, well, I like all of the groups. And in fact, I think the inspiration was the last meeting, particularly the students. I mean, I'm a teacher, and when I heard Dylan Gallos, is that his last name, and Jessica Alquist, it just moved me to say, you know, this is, there's a lot to be said, and we need to speak out. So the students are really a remarkable force, and helping those of us who are a little bit older stay active.
I want to ask you something. As a professor at the university there, you direct the Spatial Information Research Group. Do you conduct research on the structure of cognitive dissonance as well?
Not so much on cognitive dissonance, although in my classes I certainly talk about... I like to talk about some of the writings of Michael Shermer and Steven Pinker and other people.
Pattern recognition and agency detectors, all that stuff.
Exactly. Yep. You know, because humans are very good at looking for cause and effect, and that's what they want to try to find. They're not very good it's impossible for them to view randomness. And so there's a lot of things in the world that are random, but we're always trying to put a cause and effect, and that's what gets us into trouble. We have to just accept that some things are random.
Have you noticed a change in the country? Young people are less religious than they used to be. In your years of teaching, have you noticed any shift in the percentage of your students who are more skeptical?
I think they are more skeptical. I don't think they. I think there's a less acceptance of just strict dogma. They want to learn. They want to. And I think it's changed a little bit. Although I've probably gotten more active as well, so maybe I just didn't notice it before.
Well, we don't think this situation in Elwood City is over yet. I do think all of the statements are legally very significant. They're putting their foot in their mouth, in other words, about their religious motives. So,
exactly. And I hope that people in the area continue to write letters to all of the elected officials.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your help and your activism and telling us about Elwood City. We've been talking with Stephen Hertel.
We also want to thank our producer and engineer, Dave McCann, who, by the way, is the engineer for the Wisconsin Badger Radio Network, who will be going to the Rose Bowl this year. Buzz Kemper is our announcer. The show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio for details.
Or join us at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. You can ask for a free sample of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, or better yet, just sign up and join us, become active, get on our lists for action alerts. You can get involved in controversies like this. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.